And so we turn today to the book of Galatians chapter 5, where Paul tells us these things. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but love one another. Because love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control, these are the fruits of the Spirit. Did it ever strike you that the God whom we worship and serve, the Lord of the universe, the God of the ages, the one who has power and capacity to do anything, the one who has experienced ages of betrayal and pain from us, yet this God, this is the one who wants us more than anything to be free. Even more than God wants our obedience, God wants us to be free to obey. Even more than God wants our love, He wants us to be free to love. Even more than God wants our service, God wants us to be free to serve. And so God invests Himself fully, all God's power, all God's love, not in making us obey or love or serve, but in making us free. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. And so we are free. But we need to be concerned with how we use our freedom. A man told a story about his father, who was a TV repairman. When his dad came home in the evening, he said, after working all day, the last thing dad wanted to think about was repairing televisions. And so mom often said that every television in the neighborhood worked right except their own. For example, the antenna on, this was in the time before cable TV, the antenna on top of the house had one arm broken off of it by a snowstorm some years before, and it resulted in poor reception in the television in the living room. And yet Dad never got around to going up on the roof and fixing the antenna. Not long ago, the story goes, a new family moved in to the house next door. And soon, the new neighbor, appeared on his roof to install his own television antenna. And knowing that the man next door was a TV technician, this new neighbor faced his antenna in exactly the same direction as the neighbor's antenna was faced, figuring that if that's the way it is on the TV technician's roof, then that must be the way to get the best reception. And then, you know where this is going, don't you? And then, just as he was leaving the roof and his new television antenna installation, he glanced over at the neighbor once again, and he reached up and broke an arm off of his brand new TV antenna, because that's the way the TV technician's antenna worked. Too often, we look to each other for our values, we look at each other and think we're going to learn the best ways to do things, the best ways to figure things out, when we need to be looking toward God, not toward each other. How do we use our freedom? Do we use our freedom to imitate each other, or do we use our freedom to imitate God? There's a popular story going around about a husband and wife who were discussing their living wills. And the husband is adamant about his desires. "Just so you know," he says, "I would never want to live in a vegetative state, dependent on some machine and fluids from a bottle. If I ever get to that point, I just want you to pull the plug." So his wife thought about it for a moment. She got up, unplugged the television set, and threw out all his beer. Hits a little close to home. Huh? How do we use our freedom? Do we use it to connect ourselves to a powerful and loving God, or do we use our freedom to indulge ourselves? I think there's a spirit in us. Paul talks about this. He assumes it. He doesn't describe it in so many ways, but he assumes this. If you read Galatians 5, you'll find it there. There's a spirit within us. It comes from God. God's spirit is resident in us, or at least a spark of it. And that spirit always draws us in God's direction. The spirit doesn't force us or compel us, but it draws us. It entices us. It encourages us on. Perhaps you've felt that spirit's presence. I imagine that you're here today because you have felt that Spirit's presence, and you've experienced that Spirit's nudgings and its hope and its love for you. When we give ourselves to the practices of prayer, we seek that Spirit, and we are trying in prayer to connect with that Spirit of God that is all about us, but that is within us too. There's a spirit in us that always draws us in God's direction, always seeking to pull us toward God and God's ways. Do you remember the name John Wayne Gacy? During the day, John Wayne Gacy worked as a clown. He brought lots of joy and laughter to the lives of hundreds of children around Chicago. But at night, John Wayne Gacy was a brutal murderer, and he murdered 32 teenage boys. One day there was a knock at his door, and when John Wayne Gacy opened the door, it was the police. And when he opened the door and saw the police there, do you know what he said to them? He said, "Thank God you're here. Thank God you're here." You see, I think even in John Wayne Gacy, there was that spirit drawing him toward God. And he knew he was resisting it. He was moving in diametrically opposite ways, pulling in other directions. But there was something in him that made him know that he was not going in the right direction, doing the things that this spirit within him was drawing him to do and to be. In 1977, two young men committed a heinous crime. They unlawfully entered the home of an elderly woman, and they beat her to death. A senseless crime. For 17 years, that crime went unsolved. Eventually, it would have become just another forgotten file in the police records. But in 1994, a man named Julian Imperial came forward, and he confessed to that crime. Even though he was not a suspect, even though the statute of limitations had run out on the case, Julian turned himself in. Why did he do that? Here's what he said. Back in 1977, he and a friend broke into the home of Mary Stein, a woman in her 70s. With no provocation, they began beating her with a length of wood. Just before she died, Mary Stein cried out, "Oh Lord, I'm coming home. Oh Lord, I'm coming home." And those words echoed in Julian's head. He couldn't run from his horrible guilt. Later that year, because of those words, that experience he had, later that year he gave his life to Christ and he became a Christian. But for 16 more years then, as a Christian, he struggled with a stifling sense of sin and shame for what he had done. He knew the consequences of admitting his crime. Yet his faith in God would not allow him to run from his sins any longer. So in 1994, he confessed and he was sentenced to prison. Although his body was shackled, there was now freedom for Julian's soul. He no longer carries the burden of guilt and sin, for he has confessed and he has responded to that drawing of the Spirit within him and the Spirit all about him. You were called to freedom. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence. Use your freedom to seek God, to seek God in prayer, to seek God in life. Use your freedom to follow God's ways. There's a Spirit in us that draws us toward God, doesn't compel us, doesn't force us, doesn't make us, but draws us inexorably toward God. St. Augustine said in the 4th century, "Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in Thee. But still we are free." And our lives will answer the question, how will we use the freedom God has given us? Will we use the freedom God has given us to connect ourselves to a powerful and loving God, to be about the work that God envisions for us in our world, or will we use our freedom to indulge ourselves? You've heard the story that Senator John McCain tells, how he was a prisoner of war in North Vietnam. In those experiences, he met one man whose name was Lieutenant Commander Mike Christian. And he was imprisoned with Mike Christian for some of those years. And he told the story of how Lieutenant Commander Christian gathered scraps of material, white material and red material. And when he had gathered enough scraps of material from around the camp where they were interned, he sewed the scraps together on the inside of his pajama top. He sewed them together into an American flag. And then, at night, as they were getting ready to go to bed for the night, Mike would take off his pajama top and hang it on the wall. And they would stand there in a circle around that makeshift flag, and the men together would say the Pledge of Allegiance. John McCain said that was a ritual that brought them all together and reminded them of their purpose. Kind of like what we're doing here this morning. All together being reminded of our purpose. Well, one day the guards happened to catch the men as they were getting ready to go to bed, gathered around that makeshift flag saying the Pledge of Allegiance. They took the flag away, and they took Mike Christian away too. And they beat him brutally. And late that night, they threw him back into the dormitory and into his cell. And as soon as he got there, he picked himself up and he began gathering pieces of cloth again, little pieces of white and red cloth. He was already starting on another flag. It gave his life, even in prison, purpose and focus and direction. Like those who've gone before us, some of them commemorated by these candles on the altar, like those who have gone before us, we are saints of God. Not because of our behavior, but because of God's presence in our life, God's Spirit dwelling within us and within this community of faith called First Church. God's Spirit determined to keep us free. But how will we use our freedom? Will we use our freedom to choose love and obedience and service? Will we use our freedom to connect ourselves to God and each other? Will we use our freedom to pursue God's mission? Or will we use our freedom simply to indulge ourselves? Amen.